If you love a good story, we have certainly had a great story this morning. The true story of David and Goliath from 1 Samuel chapter 17, which the Malunguza family read to us so beautifully. And by the way, if you're listening to this on the recording and not with us now as you're listening, then you may like to pause just for a moment and read that passage for yourself. So that's 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 1 to 50, anyone listening to this on the recording. And this morning we are continuing our series on the full armour of God. Today we are looking at the sword of the Spirit, that is the word of God. Let's just remind ourselves of the Apostle Paul's teaching on the full armour of God that we find in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 17. Paul says to us finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The Apostle Paul is telling us loud and clear that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And he is telling us that we need the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, what about our friend David, the shepherd boy? What was he up against as he prepared to take on Goliath? Was he up against flesh and blood? Well, as we understand, Goliath was a pretty big bloke. The Bible makes reference to his great size. His height was 6 cubits and a span, which I understand to be about 3 meters. He wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels, which is about 58 kilograms. Now, to put that into context, when Gabby and I fly to Romania, we are allowed 32 kilograms in massive suitcases each. We fill them up almost to the limit, that is 30 kilograms in each, and we can hardly lift one of them. Now this geezer, Goliath, was wearing in weight nearly 60 kilograms, the equivalent of my suitcase and Gabby's put together. He wasn't carrying this in his hand, he was wearing it, and he also had all of his other clobber too. And to give some illustration of his strength, with all that weight on him, he could move and fight. And as our friend David, the shepherd boy, stood in front of Goliath, he was standing in front of a massive, meaty man. Goliath was a big, beefy bloke. Yes, young David was standing in front of a human war machine made out of flesh and blood. And yet, young David, the shepherd boy, somehow understood deeply that the real battle was not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. How do we know this? Because of what David said both to King Saul and to Goliath. If you look in verses 36 and 37, you'll see that David said, "Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." Young David recognized that it was God who had really conquered the lion and the bear, and that God will equally give him victory over Goliath. And as well as that, young David knew that this was a spiritual battle in another sense too, because Goliath had defied the armies of the living God. And if he had defied the armies of the living God, then he had, of course, defied the living God himself. So what does it mean to defy? Here are some dictionary definitions for us. To refuse to obey a person, a decision, a law, a situation, etc. To confront with assured power of resistance. To disobey, to mock, or to rebel against. To put it into modern slang, Goliath was dissing the armies of the living God, and therefore he was dissing the living God. As young David was speaking to King Saul, he was in effect declaring, "Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." And when young David spoke to Goliath, he spoke in the same manner. What did he say to Goliath? You can find it in verse 45. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands." Our subject this morning is the sword of the Spirit. Young David rejects the metallic sword and relies on the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, the name of God, and his relationship to that name and to that God. And whilst he would not have had a paper copy of the Bible, nor the Bible on his phone, in the previous chapter, in 1 Samuel chapter 16, the Lord had spoken to the prophet Samuel, and the prophet Samuel had anointed young David. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon young David. He was not relying on the metallic sword, but on the Word of God as delivered by prophet Samuel. And the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. Truly, he was relying on the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, here is a question for all of us. Can we rely today on God's way and the world's way? Can we rely on the metallic sword and the sword of the Spirit? Can we rely on both at the same time? Well, I don't think so, because Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So what about us? Let's be really honest. Who do we rely on? And who should we be relying on? Can we honestly rely on God's way and the world's way? Can we honestly rely on the metallic sword and the sword of the Spirit? Can we rely on both at the same time? Our young friend David, the shepherd boy, he didn't think so. Do you remember what happened when King Saul tried to dress David in worldly armor? What happened when David tried to put on a metallic sword? We find it in verses 38 and 39. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. I cannot go in these, he said to Saul, because I am not used to them. So he took them off. God had anointed King David to do God's work in God's way, using God's armor and not the armor of this world. So let us learn from his example. And here is another question for us all. The battle that day for young David, did it start the moment he faced Goliath? Of course it didn't. He was in a battle 24/7, and so are we. Did you know that you are in a battle, a spiritual battle, 24/7? Where was the battle raging for young David before he even met Goliath? You know where it was raging? In his own family, amongst his own brothers. And sadly, my friends, the battle is often raging within our own families and even within our own church. Young David, the servant of the Lord, was massively judged and discouraged and verbally abused by his older brother, Eliab. And Eliab could so easily have stifled the work of God and the plan of God if David had given in to him. You can read about their conflict in verses 28 to 29. When Eliab, David's eldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle." "Now what have I done?" said David. "Can't I even speak?" I think the lesson from these verses is double, because at times we can all be in the position of David, but tragically we can also take on the role of Eliab too. Yes, sometimes we are the servant of God, listening to him and serving him, and we need to take up the sword of the Spirit and trust in God. But sometimes, tragically, if we are not really diligent, we can be used by Satan, as was Eliab. And sometimes, perhaps without even being aware of it, we end up judging our brothers and sisters in the Lord, judging our leaders and our fellow servants, discouraging them and verbally abusing them, either to their face or talking them down behind their back. Let us give up our evil ways. Let us repent of fighting against each other. Let us refrain from fighting with metallic swords, and let us take up the sword of the Spirit, that is, the Word of God. And perhaps at this point, we need to make a safety announcement. Just as the wrapper on a set of knives should come with a warning to handle with care, because you could injure yourself, so too we need to handle the Word of God with care. This is what the Apostle Paul tells us about the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. The Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Now, if you buy a knife to prepare meat and vegetables, presumably you want a good knife. That is to say, a knife that will cut well. And so, by definition, a good knife is a dangerous knife if it is not used properly. And if you look in your kitchen drawer or in your knife rack, I doubt that you will find a double-edged knife. The top edge of your knife is smooth, and at times you rest your finger on that top edge as you cut, and only the bottom edge is sharp. But in ancient warfare, when people fought with swords, they wanted both edges to be sharp, so that whichever way they struck the enemy, upwards, downwards, to the left or to the right, the sword would be effective. The Word of God is sharper than any double-edged sword. So whilst it is effective when used properly, it can be very dangerous when it is misquoted, inappropriately quoted, or used wrongly. And it is one of the devil's schemes. Satan loves it when scripture is abused. And indeed, when Jesus was in the wilderness, it was Satan himself who tried to knock Jesus off course. And he even inappropriately quoted scripture on that occasion. More on that in part two. Welcome back to part two of our message this morning. In the reading from John chapter 1 that Chris read to us at the very start of our service, we are told that Jesus is the Word of God. And here, my friends, is a mystery and a wonder. The Word of God is a person, Jesus, and the Word of God is the Scripture too. It is a mystery and a wonder. And that is not all. There is a further mystery and a further wonder. that Jesus, when he was here on earth, that is to say, Jesus, the Word of God, the person, he quoted Scripture, that is the written Word of God. And he especially quoted Scripture when he was being tempted by the devil. Now, please remember, the devil wanted to knock Jesus off course. If the devil could have got Jesus to choose a celebrity lifestyle full of luxury, instead of following the will of the Father, then Jesus would not have won the victory on the cross. So let's have a look at this incident of the devil's scheming that we find in Matthew chapter 4. But I would like to read just the last part of chapter 3 so as to include the account of Jesus' baptism first, because the two are related. So let's read Matthew chapter 3, starting at verse 13. I think we've got the wrong slide on the screen. Thank you. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." And then John consented. Now, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." As he came up out of the water, Jesus, the Word of God, heard the Father speaking the Word of God. And this is what the Father said, "This is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased." And with those words still ringing in his ears, Jesus went into the wilderness. And whilst he did not eat for 40 days, I would suggest that the Word of God ringing in his ears sustained him. Let us now move on to chapter 4 and verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." 40 days ago, the Father had spoken, saying, "This is my Son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased." And now the devil is saying to him, "If you are the Son of God," putting a question mark over Jesus' position as Son of God. It is as if he is saying, "Come on, Jesus, prove it. Prove that you are the Son of God. And if you are the Son of God, if that's your job title, then surely there are some perks that come with the job. Everyone else claims expenses. Everyone else gets a free lunch when they are out on business. Why don't you turn a few of these stones into cheese rolls?" But Jesus, the Word of God, knew the Word of God. He knew that he was the Son of God because the Father had announced it 40 days ago, and he knew from Scripture, from back in the days of Moses, that man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus, the Word of God, was relying on every word that comes from the mouth of God. I told you, my friends, that this is a mystery and a wonder, and it certainly is. Let's move on, please, to verse 5. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. This time the devil repeats his words from before, saying, if you are the Son of God, and tries to tempt Jesus into becoming some kind of celebrity, a showman. Satan inappropriately quotes scripture from Psalm 91, but Jesus, the Word of God, he knows the Word of God, and he is living by the Word of God. So he is ready and prepared with an answer out of Scripture. And he says categorically, do not put the Lord your God to the test. And now if we move on to verse 8, we see that again the devil took Jesus to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. The devil was trying to tempt Jesus to worship other gods. And Jesus, the Word of God, quoted the Word of God from Deuteronomy chapter 6, saying, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. As we draw to a close, my friends, let's say this. Jesus, the Word of God, made full use of the sword of the Spirit, that is, the Word of God. And if Jesus needed the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, then I am convinced that we need it too. Amen.